from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Now we're talking about the NBA playoffs. We'll talk a little bit about the Kings as well coming up, but we're talking about the Knicks and Pacers game. Jalen Brunson, incredible. Tyrese Haliburton, actively bad. Can we, real quick, Josh Hart and Dante DiVincenzo were great last night. That three DiVincenzo I hit, I think, to tie the game on the break, where he's above the left wing and he did like a hard step in and then decided to step back and take a three to tie that game late. Remarkable. Dante DiVincenzo's growth as a player has been super fun to watch. Josh Hart is maybe the most fun non-superstar to watch in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
He's all over the place.
Talk about a superstar in your role.
Yes.
Like, absolutely yes. Stunning what he's able to do.
Yes. Austin Rivers always says on his podcast, learn your role, change your life. Josh Hart did it.
Yeah.
With all due respect, and I mean this to Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart and Dante, can we stop with the Villanova thing? We understand they all went to Villanova together.
Yeah.
We get it. Okay, yeah, they won a title. I got it. Incredible. Shout out to Jay Wright. Great job, everyone.
Yeah.
You did it. I don't need to hear about it anymore. Every time one of them does it, it's like, oh, the Villanova guy. Like, all right, God, it's not like they just came out.
Yeah. They are the three best friends that anyone could ever have.
And it's just, when that was a storyline early in the year, it's like, man, look at the Knicks and look at the three Villanova guys leading the way. It's like, oh, that's kind of cool. What a fun thing. And just every time any of them does something, mm-hmm. we have to rave about the fact they went to Villanova. It's like, all right, man, got it. It's reaching the point of, you know, those storylines of like, hey, did you know Keegan Murray has a twin brother? Or did you know Matthew Stafford and Clayton Kershaw were friends growing up?
Mm.
Did you know Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard? It's like those kind of stories that just come up again and again and again.
Yeah.
Just tired of it.
Okay.
We're going to keep hearing it because they're going to keep winning and playing well.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to them. Shout out to Jay Wright. Well done building the Knicks. He's done it.
He did it. World's greatest cup of coffee.
Best cup of coffee. One of the storylines of that game last night was the officiating down the stretch.
I think it's the story of the playoffs, Kyle.
The entire playoffs?
Explain, please. I think it's the story of the last 30 games of the season. I think it's a story of the first, you know, where we're at so far in the playoffs. Like, and we were going to talk about, we started talking about this before the show, and there was a moment where I was like, okay, I'm going to save this for the show, because I think on occasion we come across something. I feel bad for the officials.
Why?
Because the league decided to change the way that games were going to be officiated in the second half of the season, right? And we watched the players struggle so hard to figure it out, right? And the problem is that it's not consistent from one night to the next, because mm-hmm. you have different officiating crews from one night to the next. So it's almost like you know, again, we talked about this when you're watching a baseball game, and the high strike isn't mm-hmm. a strike, and then all of a sudden in the fourth inning becomes a strike.
Yeah,
and everyone's looking around like, hey man, at least call it consistently,
yes.
right?
Right.
So, but the problem is that one official group isn't calling it the same way that the next official mm-hmm. group is calling it. Well, it's because while the players are learning it, the refs are also trying to struggle to like redefine what is a foul and what isn't to them. And that's not easy. Like mm-hmm. you're changing the rubric for them on the fly. And I know we keep talking about the players, but we also have to like give the officials some leeway mm-hmm. that this is what they're being mandated to do. And it's not easy. It's not easy to change what you've always blown as a whistle. And all of a sudden, that's not a whistle. Mm-hmm. And is that a whistle or is that not? It is when Karl Anthony Towns absolutely runs over somebody, lowers his shoulder, trucks the guy, knocks him on his butt, mm-hmm. and goes up and over and puts the ball in the basket. Is that an offense foul? Is it not? It is an offensive foul. That mm-hmm. was clear.
Mm-hmm.
And to watch even like Michael Malone lose his mind, right? He ran out on the court yelling F-bomb after F-bomb after F-bomb. Like, he lost his mind.
He was trying to get teed up.
He was trying to get ejected from the game.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even get a tech.
Crazy.
Nothing. And that, to me, was the official saying, look, man, I don't know either. I don't know either because this is what I'm being told to do. And that in any other game is absolutely an offensive foul. Mm-hmm. But it's not now.
Mm-hmm.
And so how am I supposed to call it? And how am I supposed to regulate it on the fly? And who is their stars and who is your stars? And how am I supposed to call this? And like, we're watching, again, Jamal Murray not understand how to grasp the concept of being locked up where guys are grabbing and holding on to him and, mm-hmm. and walling him off and like not giving him anything. And I think at the same time, we have to give everyone some leeway here. And that's what I thought the official did last night. I thought he took a step back and said, like, I probably blew that call. But you have to understand, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here either.
Yeah.
This is tough. This is crazy. And so I think it's just a weird point of emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
And to have it change in the middle of the season as someone who's covered the NBA forever, like in, right before the season starts, they have us all sit down with an NBA official.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a video. He puts it in the machine. We all watch a video, and typically it was like Willie Cauley-Stein doing something wrong.
Hilarious.
Like, and it's a league-wide video. It's not just. And so every single time we're watching the points of emphasis for this season, and then they would say, but look, this is an off-the-record conversation. We don't want you going out there and saying, what are the points of emphasis? And then, of course, you have some people who don't abide by that.
Right, they just immediately go, oh, carrying. That was a point of emphasis for the NBA this year.
Exactly, exactly. So there are all these nuances to it. But to change the point of emphasis during the All-Star break mm-hmm. and come out with some different look, mm-hmm. I don't know. It's almost like if in the NFL, if all of a sudden, like, there was no pass interference anymore.
Yeah. Or to say, hey, lean defense on the pass interference stuff. You know, hold the flag, basically. Swallow the whistle. If you're not 100% sure, swallow the whistle.
Yeah.
And that's basically what the NBA did in the second half. But the problem I have is, I think you make a fine point there, where officiating NBA basketball at full speed, where you don't have the advantage of the upper view, you have to be like right there and there's people moving in front of you and you're trying to look over here and got to make a call, but something happened back over here that you didn't quite see. You just saw a body hit the floor. I imagine if you and I and two listeners tried to go down and officiate an NBA game, we would have no shot.
Mm-mm.
Just nothing.
Oh no, they'd want to kill us.
Like
8 minutes in.
Immediately.
Yeah.
So that's, I understand that it's difficult. The problem I have is, and I also understand that the league wants you to swallow the whistle, but to what point?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're just saying like, hey, it's a free for all, that gets dangerous.
Yeah, that's how fights happen.
Right, and then you have to start whistling like touch fouls and ticky tack stuff to try and gain control of the game, and everyone's going, we don't know what to do, we don't know how to play. So I say all that to say, the way the Knicks-Pacers game ended, And the way how physical that game was, it was a lot of fun. Jalen Brunson went to the free throw line 14 times, but it never felt like there were any phantom calls in there, like they were actually was getting hacked. There were definitely some fouls that were committed that didn't get called, which I prefer every time.
Mm-hmm.
I would way rather the game continue and a player run down the court with his palms in the air than whistling, stopping play, and defenders looking up at the screen to see that nothing happened. I'm fine with that. What I'm not fine with is a marginal, at best, moving screen on Miles Turner in a huge possession late in that game because Dante DiVincenzo did a good acting job.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, and it's not, again, it's not like I said, ref was probably saw that out of the corner of his eye and went, oh, moving screen, it's going the other way. And I understand as an official, you have to theoretically call it the same for 48 minutes. But when you have been letting so many things go this entire game, and then to have this really intense moment, this really intense possession, flip on a minor foul at best, you have let way worse go throughout the game. And now all of a sudden in this moment, it's up, whistle, we're going the other way.
Mm.
That's the frustrating thing. And I imagine Indiana sitting there going, man, we've been getting hacked all game. We've been hacking all game. There's been no calls. And now this is where you decide that you're going to impose yourself on this game. That's frustrating. That's very frustrating as a player, I'm sure. I couldn't even imagine. But as a viewer, it's especially so.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then we had the other call that went the wrong way too, where the kick, mm-hmm. which wasn't a kick at all. And then you can't review a kick.
Okay, so that's, let me pause you. In real time, I thought that was a kickball. And I see 100% how the ref got that wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because he sticks his foot out, but in like conjunction with his hand. It didn't actually hit his foot. I don't know why in that moment, and I say this for MLB and the NFL, you have people watching in Secaucus. You have people with contact to the arena watching the game on a massive screen and going, oh, they got it wrong. Why can't you just buzz down real quick and go, hey, hang on, possession the other way, not a kickball.
Yep.
The game doesn't even have to stop.
No, I totally agree with you. That should be like a 2-second call. Now, on occasion, though, you have to, it's like a Zapruder film. You got to sit there and like look at every angle and make sure. So it is longer.
Mm-hmm.
But you could just hold the action for a sec. And so we had that, like you and I were discussing this. We had that issue, right? The kickball that was called a kickball. And then we had the other play where they did review it, where mm-hmm. Tyrese Halliburton knocks the ball out of Jalen Brunson's hands mm-hmm. and gets the steal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, so they overturn the call, and then they say that it's Indiana ball because they had imminent possession, right? Except for on that play, Halliburton knocks it out of Jalen Brunson's hands, and I think it went to, I can't remember which one of their...
I think it was Siakam.
I think it went to Neesmith. And Neesmith punts the ball. Like, he did
kick the ball.
He kicked it right to Siakam.
Mm-hmm.
Like trying to stop a pass, he kicked the ball. And it's like, okay, but how do we call that's imminent possession when he does kick the ball?
Right.
And that would have been a violation. So you probably should have had a jump ball and said, okay, look, there's no imminent possession. We need to jump it up.
Yeah.
That probably is how you should have called it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why, like, it's so incredibly difficult. When do you stop the action? What is a continuation of the same play? How do you call it one way where it's like you see the steal was clean, but you also see that there was a kick?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are too many things to look at.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, just get the play right. Like, if you're going to review it,
mm-hmm.
just get it right.
Yeah.
That's the answer.
Yes.
Don't give us some half-baked idea of what you think happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just call it the way it should have been called.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And when in doubt at the end of games, swallow the whistle.
Yeah.
That's what, like, we go back to the women's national championship game, women's college basketball national championship game, and there was a possession late in that one where UConn got whistled for a moving screen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a moving screen for sure. But again, marginal. Like, oh, man. Like, that's tough at any moment, but especially this one. But I also understand as a ref, you're like, hey, that's a moving screen. Like, we're not going to give UConn an advantage in this spot just for the sake of, like, I get that. But also, there's no way an official saw that play by Miles Turner last night and went, oh, definite moving screen. I have to call this.
It's like the play where,
I don't know, man,
where Trey Lyles stepped in and took like an incredible charge. And then they made up a rule about his upper body was still contorting. Like, yeah, he's contorting because like a 250-pound man is running him over.
Right.
I think it was Zion. It was like someone was huge and going to run him over and did run him over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, he twisted his upper body just a little bit to take the contact and to make sure he fell correctly.
Yeah.
And you're going to call that now? It's feet established.
Yeah, legal guarding position.
Legal guarding position. There is no upper body contorting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wild stuff.
Doesn't make a ton of sense.
Yeah.
So what I'm wondering now, and you brought this up in our rundown, I think it's a great point. So we saw the NBA, because Adam Silver was clearly fed up with the offense, or with the lack of defense. Or rather, I think Adam Silver was fed up with foul grifting. I think that was his kind of biggest issue.
We hope, because we hate foul grifting.
Yeah. Well, was that players weren't playing basketball, they were playing to go to the free throw line.
Yeah.
Beyond the realm of, like I said yesterday, if you're Anthony Edwards and you're blowing past Aaron Gordon and Nikola Jokic can't do anything other than swipe at your arm as you go to the rim and you get hit and you miss your shot or whatever, fine. That is earning a foul. But if you're in the lane and you stick the ball out and start waving your arms around trying to get somebody to hit your arm, and then there's contact and you flail and throw the ball in the air, that's not basketball.
Yeah.
That's foul grifting. You're just trying to go to the free throw line.
Running to the rim and just the lightest touch, and you fall 15 feet into the crowd and throw the ball up in the air, Luka Doncic. Like, it's...
not the name names, Luka.
It's like the worst... It's like they literally put a rule in place for Trae Young because he would stop short. He would just dribble, step in front of you and stop. Mm-hmm. And you'd run him over and be like, oh, foul.
That's a Steph move.
Well, it is, yeah. But it's also, it's made famous by Trae Young. Yeah. But it's one of those deals where you're like, okay, like, look, we got to stop these stupid things that we're calling fouls on.
Right.
Like, make these guys actually earn their trip to the line.
Right. And yeah, if a guy gets fouled, a guy gets fouled. Send him to the line.
Yeah.
It's the Joel Embiid guilty of it for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But it's that Jalen Brunson even did it last night. He was down on the low block. And he's doing his pivot moves. And at one point, he does that. He brings the ball out. He straightens out his arms and puts his arms up toward the arm of the defender. Nothing there. And then he pivots back. It's like, man, what?
You know,
he's
the one guy that I watched during the season. And, you know, again, he has like his hair. He likes to throw his head back. He's a head back guy. Mm-hmm. And I saw that against the Kings, he tried it like three times early in the game. It didn't work. He's like, all right, got to play ball then. And he changes who he is in the game and like, I'm going for it now.
Yeah.
He gets it. He's like, okay, I'll adapt. If you're not going to call that tonight, it's okay.
So my question is, or rather your question, and I will ask you your question, is let's assume the NBA goes, hey, you know what? We liked that second half. We liked those playoffs. We're just going to start officiating games this way. This is how it is moving forward. We're swallowing whistles. We're not awarding foul grifters, or rewarding foul grifters, at least not every time. And we're going to change the way that basketball is fundamentally played. Does that alter for you the way the Kings should go about attacking their offseason?
Absolutely.
I could not agree more.
And look, I will be the first one to say, I've seen it in the chat. I love what I'm watching. I am down for this style of play. If this is where the NBA is going, I'm in.
1,000%.
I hate watching the foul grifting and just the trash.
It is so boring.
Like, this is totally fine with me if what we're going to see is this type of physicality. But if that's what we're going to see, then you better go find those guys right now. Like, Marcus Smart just became like the most valuable guy in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Like I keep bringing him up. Bobby Portis. Go get me Bobby Portis.
An enforcer.
An enforcer. Somebody who doesn't mind like standing up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because number one, there are going to be fights because of this. Like,
Oh yeah, for sure.
Because this is where like the testosterone and everything gets ramped up, where you're allowed to be physical. You're allowed to like do these crazy. Mm-hmm. Okay, if that's what we're allowed to do, game on, mm-hmm. right? So I think that number one, you got to find like whoever it is. You got to start. You got to make a list of three or four guys that aren't just long and athletic. They're long, athletic, and they can absolutely get physical.
The Athletic does its anonymous player poll every year.
Yeah.
Go find the players that the player poll says players would least like to fight.
Oh, yeah.
And
James Johnson.
Call around.
James Johnson, you available? Like,
just have him there.
We know you can still do a roundhouse kick and hit the rim.
You don't need to play a lot. Just hang out on the bench.
Yeah. That's where I'm kind of at. Like, you do need to figure it out. You need to find guys that have another level of physicality. Well, and it's going to do away with soft players.
Totally. And I think you kind of see it a little bit with Evan Mobley in these playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
With the Cavs. Like, guys, really good player, but man, maybe not built for this.
Yeah.
And that's where I already thought, and we talked about this during the regular season a lot, I already thought the Kings needed more dogs. That's why I think Keon Ellis had such a major impact. Now, he's very, very good at basketball. But there was a mindset that just forced everybody around him to play at the level he was playing at defensively. That you weren't going to get. There were things you lost when Kevin Herter went out, but then there were things you gained when Keon Ellis came in. Mm-hmm. That was one of the things they gained, for sure. And that's why, even before the officiating stuff, it's like, man, they need more guys like this.
Yeah.
They need more players who are going to bring this level of intensity, who are going to bring this level of dog. So I was already on board. But now, if you know that the NBA calls, it sends out a memo that's like, hey, by the way, this is the league now. Buckle up. I'm 1,000%. I'm going, yeah, hey, maybe you shoot 31% from three, but people aren't going to mess with you. Or you're willing to go take a hard foul or give a hard foul.
Yeah.
That's where maybe you prefer to have a guy like that on your bench. Maybe all of a sudden Chris Duarte is super valuable.
No. He does know how to foul people. He does. I know that for a fact.
Dude, if he's going to get less whistles or fewer whistles, why not?
No, it's very true. I just don't know. Like, he's got to be able to fit into a system. But yeah, I'm certainly, like I told you early on, like the player that the Nuggets miss right now, you can see it, is Bruce Brown.
Big time.
Go get Bruce Brown, because Bruce Brown is that guy.
Not only from a defense perspective, but from a shot creation perspective.
Yeah.
They have nothing on that end.
Well, that, and even like we talked about, like the Warriors are in cap hell, right? And one of the moves they're going to have to make, mm-hmm. most likely, is they have an $8 million contract on Kevon Looney for next season, or $3 million buyout. Mm. Like, I think Looney has lost his fastball quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know that he's in, like, physically can maintain. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, that's who we're talking about. We're talking about a dude who does not mind going toe-to-toe and getting in somebody's face and pushing and pushing and pushing. And to me, that's like, okay, you're going to buy him out. Yeah, 15, I would take him.
15 minutes a night from Kevon Looney?
Yeah, give him your biannual exception of $4 million. Yeah, okay.
I would do that so quick.
Yeah.
He's only 28.
He's 28, yeah. But he's
just
also
turned 28.
He's a Mike Brown guy.
Yes.
And so I think like he could have a revitalized career as your backup big and play 15 minutes a night behind Sabonis. And he's shown the ability to not only rebound, but also pass.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
These are things.
Just super high IQ player.
Yeah. So that's one of those moves where I could see the Kings like jumping in and being like, look, this is right for us.
If you want to see something shocking, go watch Kevon Looney college highlights. Dude used to be able to move, bro. Doing little crossovers, little baseline jumpers. It was nuts. And then he had his hip injuries. But no, Kevon Looney is the exact type of player where you're going, yeah, in an NBA where you need a big who can stand down there and kind of dole out some punishment and take some, I'd give Kevon Looney 15 minutes a night on any team.
Yeah. It's funny the way that players transfer from college to pro and how they are so much. So, you know, Kevin Durant, I think I'm almost positive in his 1 year at Texas, led the NCAA in scoring and rebounding, right? He was one of the great rebounders.
That sounds right.
Right. You know who the player was before that that led the NCAA in rebounding and scoring. And actually, I think he did it 2 years in a row.
Jason Kidd.
Kurt Thomas.
Oh.
You get to the pros and you're like, wait, he led the NCAA in scoring? Like, yeah.
This guy did?
Yeah, Kurt Thomas. Like, crazy. That's what it was. You know, it's just a different game. And when you get to the pros, so yeah, it doesn't surprise me that there are players out there that that make a big difference, that look different on the pro court.
Kevin Durant, 25.8 points, 11.1 boards, shooting 47.3% from the field and 40.4% from three.
Mm.
This is one season in college.
Kurt Thomas, his final year in college.
Please.
At Texas Christian.
Yeah.
28.9 points, 14.6 rebounds.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.